The verse I want us to look at this evening is verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter number 55. We'll read that verse with you again. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Now in this particular verse, God himself is speaking to sinners through the prophetic words of his servant Isaiah of old. And in this verse, he really highlights before such the excellency and indeed the greatness of his salvation. Now, Isaiah chapter 55 is really one of the great gospel chapters of the Bible. It follows closely upon Isaiah chapter 53, which sets before us the atoning sacrifice of Christ as the only way for man's redemption from sin. Indeed, speaking upon these words in Isaiah chapter 55, one Bible commentator of a bygone day has said these words. He says, "While this precious chapter remains in the book of God, no sinner need despair of salvation who is disposed to return to him. No one can plead that he is too great a sinner to be saved. No one can maintain successfully that the provisions of mercy are limited in their nature to any portion of the human race. And no minister of the gospel need be desponding about the success of the work that he is engaged in." What words of commendation those are for this chapter of Scripture before us. You'll see here that the chapter begins with an invitation to sinners to come and partake of God's salvation in Christ. It says in verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price." You'll notice there that that invitation commences with a little word, "ho." There's just two letters in that word. It's a word maybe we might be inclined to pass over, maybe be inclined to dismiss as being unimportant. However, in the original language of the Old Testament, it's a very important word. That little word, "ho," there is a word that God uses, as it were, to call our attention to the subject in hand and indeed to the words that are before us. It's a little word that really sets before us that the words here of this verse number 1 are words of tremendous and vital importance to every single one of us in this gospel meeting tonight. As you think about that little word, "ho," you could really say this is God's trumpet call, summoning our attention to what he has to say to us further in this verse. Oh, friends, tonight in this meeting here in this verse is an invitation that God does not want you and I to miss. Here is an invitation in these words that God wants you and I to consider in our hearts and souls. Why? Because in these words of invitation, God sets before you and I the greatness, indeed the excellency of his salvation. As we think tonight just simply upon God's salvation, there's a number of things I want to set before you that are found in this verse of Scripture. You'll see, first of all, with me that God's salvation is great, for it brings cleansing from sin. And that cleansing is signified here in verse 1 of Isaiah 55 by the word waters. Notice the mention there of the word waters. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Now, whenever you and I think of waters, we think of that which is used for washing. We think of that which is used for cleansing. And the waters here that are mentioned in this verse remind you and I in the gospel of the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed upon Calvary's cross. And my, it is only the blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary that can cleanse a man from the awful defilement of a sin before a holy God. The Bible declares the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And as you would think here of this little word, waters, in the midst of this verse, see here that the precious blood of Christ is highlighted as the remedy for the cleansing away of our sin. The Lord Himself, He speaks of the reality of this cleansing in Isaiah 43, verse 25. When He says there, I, even I, am He that bloodeth out thy transgression for mine own name's sake. And can I say that this cleansing is a full cleansing? For in salvation, not one sin is left uncleansed. Not one sin is left unforgiven by God. You think of the words of Hezekiah of old, who knew the cleansing away of his sins by the precious blood of Christ. Giving a word of testimony, he said these significant words. He says to the Lord, Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. It is a full cleansing. We can say also that it is a present cleansing. We turn in our Bibles back to Isaiah chapter number 1 and the verse number 18. You'll see these words of invitation again when the Lord says, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord says, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, it's a present cleansing. Oh, you don't have to wait till you come to die or till you come to leave this world until you know about this cleansing. This is a cleansing from sin that is to be had, to be experienced here and now on this earth in this scene of time. You know, we can also say that this cleansing is an eternal cleansing. Listen to the words of the psalmist David, who knew the cleansing of his sins by the precious blood, as he writes in Psalm 103, verse 12. He says to God, As far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. You think about that. The distance from the east to the west is a distance that you cannot measure or comprehend or fathom. David uses those words to highlight that this cleansing is an eternal cleansing. Oh, the old hymn writer was right whenever they said there's perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, tell me, do you long to have all your sins forgiven by God? Do you long to have all your sins forgiven forever by God? Tell me, do you long even this very night to have your sins forgiven by God? When I tell you that such longing can be met for you and for you through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Praise God, the blood of Christ has been shed. God says to those who have their sins cleansed away by the precious blood of the Lamb, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Yes, God's salvation is great, for it brings cleansing from sin. Notice something else here from our verse. God's salvation is great because it brings joy to the heart that is weary through sin. And that joy is signified in our text through the use of the word wine in the verse. Notice what it says there. Down in the middle of the verse it says, Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Notice the mention there of the word wine. And in Bible times, wine was often associated with occasions of great joy and happiness. Think of the wedding of Cana of Galilee. Indeed, the Bible speaks of wine that maketh glad the heart of man. And this wine here is really a picture of the joy that there is for all who are saved, who have their sins forgiven by God. Well, listen to the testimony of David as he writes in Psalm 32, verse 1. He says, "There, blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." That word blessed means happy. And this happiness consists of being at peace with God. It consists of being assured of eternal life in heaven. It consists of being delivered from eternal judgment and hell. And if you go down to verse 12 of the chapter before us, you'll see there how the Lord speaks to you and I about this particular joy. Verse 12 of Isaiah 55, he says, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." What a joy there is to be found in the joy of God's salvation. I tell you, there is no joy that's like it. Over in Isaiah chapter 12 and the verse number 3, it says there, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." You study the life of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Paul was a saved man, yet he was always rejoicing in the Lord. He was always full of joy, even in the most difficult and trying of circumstances. He could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." He knew the joy of God's salvation in his heart. Tell me tonight, have you the joy of God's salvation in your heart and soul? My, whenever he was dying, Richard Baxter said, "I have pain, but I have peace. I have peace." And he had peace in his heart and his soul because he knew that all was well with him and God. He knew that he was soon going to heaven, to glory, to be with the Lord in that place of fullness of joy forevermore. Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. If you are to know the joy of God's wondrous salvation, the joy of sins forgiven, the joy of peace of God, and the joy of a home in heaven, then you must be saved. You must have God's salvation in your heart and in your life and in your soul. But then as we look again at our text here in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, we can also say that God's salvation is great on account of the strength that it brings to the soul of man. And you know that strength is signified by the use of the word milk there in our text. It says there at the end of verse 1 of Isaiah 55, it says, "Ye come by wine and milk without money and without price." Underline that word milk there as you find it in the verse. And when you and I think of milk, we think of that food that gives strength, that gives nourishment to the human frame, from the newborn baby to the person who is old and aged and infirm. Thus in this verse here, by using the word milk, we are reminded of the strength and the grace that God imparts to that soul that he saves. And this strength comes from the indwelling power of God the Holy Ghost in the life that he saves. Indeed, by that power, that person whom the Lord saves is given grace and strength to live to the glory of God, to turn away from sin, to turn their back upon the things of this world, and to live for the glory of God. That's what Paul was getting at when he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If you turn with me in your Bible back to Genesis chapter number 39, here you see an example of this power at work in the life of a young Christian by the name of Joseph. Isaiah chapter 39, verses 7 through to verse number 10. Joseph was a captive down here in Egypt. Here he was tested and tempted and tried to yield to sin, and he said no, and it was because of the grace of God in his life. As Jeremiah 39, verse 7, it says, "And came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master, what if not what it is with me in the house? And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater than this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now you see how God gave Joseph grace and strength to say no to sin. sin that would have ruined his life, ruined his testimony as a young man, a young Christian down in Egypt. The power of the grace of God in his life. You think tonight of William Carey. He went as a missionary to the land of India. And there in that land of India, he saw multitudes of lives changed, a multitude of lives converted from the darkness and the superstition of Hinduism and all the old pagan rituals that went along with that. And why was that the case? The secret was the saving power of the mighty grace of God wrought in hearts and lives and souls. Such is the power of God. Tell me, friend, in our meeting tonight, is it your desire to know the fetters of sin broken in your life? I tell you, there's only one person who can break those fetters. It is not man. It is not self. It is not the church. But it is Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. My, through Him and through Him alone, you can know power and victory over sin to live to the glory of God. But you know, we can say further tonight from this verse that God's salvation is great on account of its freeness. And that freeness is highlighted here by the words in our text where it says, he that hath no money. And then the words further on down where it says, without money and without price. It says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Those words there, without money and without price, they show us that God's salvation is free. And God's salvation is free because it is bestowed by and through His abounding grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Friend in the meeting tonight, understand this. You and I, we cannot pay for our salvation by our money. Money cannot buy you salvation. You and I, we cannot obtain salvation because of human merit, because we belong to some particular family. Just because your parents may be saved, or your grandparents may be saved, or a brother or sister or a relative may be saved, that does not save you. You cannot be saved through human merit. You and I, we cannot purchase salvation by our good works. We cannot obtain salvation by simply reciting prayers or the creeds of men. You cannot obtain salvation by religiosity or by the ceremonies of religion. The world tonight is full of religion. And my, there's multitudes caught up in the religions of men who know nothing of God's saving grace and power in their life. Religion cannot save you. And my, there is no such thing as salvation by baptism, by the waters of baptism, be it by sprinkling or by pouring or by immersion. All the waters of baptism in the world cannot save your soul, cannot cleanse away your sins. And my, there is no such thing as salvation by sitting at the Lord's table and partaking of the bread and the wine. Partaking of those things in themselves cannot save you. They cannot fit you for heaven. Oh, understand tonight that God's salvation is a free gift to you and I. And why is it a free gift? Because it has been paid for in full by the sacrifice, by the death, by the bloodshedding of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Indeed, the Bible says of Christ, by His own blood He obtained eternal redemption for us. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 53. Look with me, please, there at verse number 5 and the latter part of verse number 8. And there you see the price of our salvation, in the sacrifice and the shedding of Christ's precious blood. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The latter part of verse 8 says with Christ, for he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, God says, what was he stricken? That speaks of the atoning death and sacrifice and the shedding of Christ's precious blood. Friend, in our meeting tonight, understand this, that salvation is God's free gift to you and I, no matter who we are in this meeting, no matter how poor we are, no matter how rich we might be. Why? Because Christ has died and shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, it is a free gift. But notice one final thing here, just from our verse tonight in Isaiah 55, verse 1. We can also say that God's salvation is great on account of the fact that it is offered to all. You look at how the verse begins, Isaiah 55, verse 1. It says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Notice that little phrase there, everyone that thirsteth. And here we see how God offers his salvation to all mankind, to every thirsty sinner upon this earth, to the Jew, to the Gentile, to those that are black-skinned, those that are white-skinned, to those who are rich and poor, to those who are learned and unlearned in the things of men, to those who may be born Protestant or born Catholic or Muslim, Hindu, atheist or agnostic in our land and in our nation. God's salvation is a salvation that is offered free to all. And friend, in the meeting tonight, whoever you are in this meeting, still not saved, God offers to you this wonderful gift of his so great salvation. Oh, see that tonight. It's offered to you freely by God to you, the sinner, in this gospel meeting. And if you are not saved, you can never blame God, and you can never say that God never offered salvation to you. That's not true. For God offers his salvation as a free gift to all. You read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and all through the Bible. You'll see example after example of God offering salvation free to all. Think of what Christ says in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think of what he said to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, think of those great words of invitation right at the close of the New Testament and the book of the Revelation. When God says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The hymn writer says, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. How gracious God is to sinners like you and me in this meeting tonight. Friend, God has provided a wonderful remedy for your sin. And this remedy has been provided for you by the sacrifice and the atoning death and bloodshedding of Christ upon the cross. The awful price that was paid for man's redemption was the shed blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless, flawless Lamb of God. My, through God's salvation, you can know the forgiveness of all of your sins. You can know grace that will change your life and turn your life around. You can know what it is to be saved from the wrath to come, saved from a lost eternity. And through that salvation, you can be fitted and prepared for heaven and for glory. Friend, I ask you the question tonight, what are you going to do with this so great a gift of God's salvation? Will you take God's salvation tonight? Will you receive this wonderful gift, this gift that is the gift of all gifts? In life you may have received some wonderful gifts, very precious gifts, maybe very costly gifts from friends and loved ones. But I tell you tonight, this is the gift, the greatest of all gifts, the gift of God, salvation. You might ask, well, how can I receive this gift? Well, the Bible shows you it is by simply coming in simple childlike faith to Christ as a repentant sinner. You look again at what our text says there. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." In other words, come to Christ. Look at what the Lord says to you down there in verse 3 of the chapter. He says, "Incline your ear and come unto me," he says. "Hear, and your soul shall live." Go down to verse number 6 of the chapter. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near." Verse 7 there says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That is how you receive God's salvation, by coming to Christ, inclining your ear to the call of Christ and the gospel, confessing your sins to Christ. Thank Christ for dying on the cross for you, and invite him and ask him into your heart to be your own and personal Savior. This is God's way of salvation. Notice how God emphasizes that in verse 8 of the chapter. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." I tell you this, God is one who will own his word. He will not deny his word. He says there in verse number 11 of the chapter, "So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." God will honor his word. God will keep his word. God, I tell you, is true to his word. He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Tell me tonight, are you saved? Have you the blessing of God's so great salvation in your heart and life and soul? Are your sins put away by the blood of Christ? If not, come now to Christ. Call upon him. Seek him. Look to him alone for salvation. We're going to close our meeting tonight.